A quick shout out to the sponsor of this episode, me. Yes, I sponsor my own podcast, and it never gets old saying that. And this is possible because of IG University, my monthly membership where I teach you how to turn your content into a business building machine. If you've been creating content but not seeing the growth or sales that you were expecting, it's time to break that cycle. IG University helps you to turn viewers into followers and followers into customers. And it's not just about getting more eyes on your content, it's about leveraging that growth to build your business. So if you're ready to create content that converts, join IG University now and thank me later. Check out the show notes or go to myanicole.com/IGU to sign up. You're listening to the Radical Disruption Podcast with Maya Nicole, nursing student turned multi-six-figure online entrepreneur. Here we talk all things real and raw when it comes to entrepreneurship and what it really takes to get to the next level. Leave the small biz talk at the door and buckle up for the tangible, tactical, and actionable steps that will help guide you in building a disruptive business. Let's dive into the show. Hello and welcome back to Radical Disruption. I'm so excited for you to get to know Becca today. Becca is amazing. She's originally from Northern Cali and she received a double major in marketing and journalism from Barrett, the Honors College at ASU, and now lives in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. Becca started Homemade Social to work hands-on with lifestyle and e-commerce brands and to implement social media and Facebook advertising strategies to elevate their brand and reach. Dubbed the modern social media queen by Arizona Foothills, Becca is revolutionizing the digital marketing game and inspiring brands to use innovative tactics to grow their online presence. In her spare time, she is a loving dog mom of Jojo, the cattle dog mix, can be found at the farmers markets most Saturday mornings, and recently picked up piano lessons again. I'm so excited for you to dive into this episode. Let's get right to it. All right, guys, let me just tell you, we've been on a roller coaster of a ride. All the tech issues for the last like 25 minutes trying to record this, the technology gods said, you shall not hear this episode today. We're going to make it happen. Becca has been trying all sorts of mics and headphones and all sorts of things. We are going to make it happen for you today. And this episode is going to be so worth it. So with all that being said, today's episode is all about boundaries and creating systems and what has allowed Becca and her team and also her clients to work less while increasing their bottom line. So I would love to know, Becca, what is your entrepreneur story and how was Homemade Social born?
Okay, great question. And we're on mic number two, headphones number two. We've tried two USB-C adapters. We're just...
two applications. We were now we're on Zoom.
We're trying everything. But we're tenacious and that's all that matters. So we just celebrated Homemade Social's fifth birthday not too long ago. So exciting. But my entrepreneurship journey started about 2 years before that. I started doing some freelance work at my last like 9-to-5 job just to make extra money. And in the summer of 2017, I actually took a Facebook ads course, like an online course. And in a way, like both of those things were kind of ahead of the time, I would say. Like, in 2017, there weren't a lot of online courses. Like that was like the very beginning of online course days. And there also weren't a lot of women in their early 20s learning how to manage Facebook ads. Like it was me and I felt like a bunch of 40-year-old dudes. And so having both of those things, having that skill set really, I think, set me apart as a freelancer. And I think I spent like $900 on that course and I spent my own money. I thought about asking my employer to like help me pay for it because I was obviously going to use some of the knowledge at my last job.
Yeah.
But part of me was like, I have a feeling that I'm going to want to do this myself and run with it and monetize it. And so I took the leap and I paid $900, which was a ton of money to me when I was like 22 or 23. I think I was 22. That is the course that kind of like changed my trajectory and also gave me the confidence to go after different clients and pitch myself to brands. Cause like at that time, Facebook was kind of like a gold mine, like for advertising for small businesses. Like you could spend not a ton and still see great results. So there's a lot of ROI to be had. So I officially quit my 9-to-5 in October of 2017. And then Homemade Social was officially born like a year and a half later. in February of 2019. So that's kind of a long story short how I got to be where we are today.
I love that. And was Homemade Social, was that just like you getting that started, or was that when you started hiring people on and then you're like, hey, let's rebrand, kind of make this into Homemade Social, or what did that look like?
So I quickly realized as I was just being like, you know, solopreneur, freelancer, that within like less than, with maybe like 7 months later, I was already like really busy and was starting to like drop the ball on a couple client stuff. And I was like, crap, I need to start hiring for help. And so I kind of, it was funny because I went into my self-employment journey being like, I never want to own an agency. But I think that's because I had only ever worked or interned at agencies that were just like really poorly managed and had no boundaries, had no work-life balance. And I was just like, that's not what I want. And then it's funny because it's ultimately what I built. And I think having that vision for what I didn't want really helped me to build what I did want. So yeah.
I know we're talking about boundaries and systems, but a question that I get asked so often, I would love to ask you as well, is what did it look like when it came to that very first hire for you? Because I know that can kind of be scary, like bringing people on. How did you find that person to hire? Did you end up keeping them for very long? Like, are they still working for you?
Right. Good question.
What did that whole process look like?
So the good news is at my previous job, I was in charge of marketing all of our previous like hiring and internship openings. So I had marketed for hiring roles and like filling roles before. And so I used a lot of the same like tools and resources I had used for that. So I remember Googling like how to write a job description or like a internship opening description. Yeah. And then I submitted it to a couple of different places, one of them being Handshake. I don't know if you have heard of that.
Yeah.
It's an awesome tool for finding interns and getting connected to local universities. But the catch was you need to have, or at least you did in 2018, you needed to be able to show proof of like physical office address, because these universities don't want to send their students to a place where they're working from someone's house.
Yeah.
And I was working out of my house at the time. And I was also doing a little bit of influencer work. Like I probably this time I was close to around 10,000 Instagram followers in 2017.
Yeah.
And I was approached by a co-working space to have a free membership as a like entrepreneur. And I was like, this is divine timing.
Yeah.
So I was able to use that as my business address, posted and was able to get some interns under my belt. And I had imposter syndrome. Like I was 23, I think at the time. And some of the girls I was mentoring or who were interning for me, they were like 21, 22. And I was just like, why are they going to listen to me?
Yeah.
And I didn't know. And I really hadn't managed self-sufficiently like a team before.
Yeah.
I just had never been like trained to be a manager. So it was kind of just like a lot of trial and error. But when it came time, like 7 months later to make a hire, I chose kind of like my best intern, offered her a part-time gig as like a contractor, like a freelancer for me, just to like test it. And it worked out great. And that's kind of like how I made that first hire.
I love that. And I feel like your journey is so different for hiring than a lot of people's journeys, at least that I've talked to, and at least in my own personal experience. What made you go with an intern and kind of doing an internship before hiring versus just like going out to find someone who was like a freelancer at the time?
I think it's just because it's what I was comfortable with. Like from my previous role, I really had done a lot of management of the interns at that job. And I had seen how it was a good way to like test and train someone for a semester before potentially offering them a better role.
Yeah.
And so because I didn't necessarily have a huge need for part-time help when I first posted this internship, I was just like, I think it would be smart to post about it.
Yeah.
It worked out really conveniently that I was able to pull from them, because like so much time and effort goes into training. And so especially when you're a solopreneur, like if you're already working 40 hours a week and then you have to spend like 10 hours a week for a couple weeks training someone new to be like self-sufficient, it can be very draining. So I was like, I've already trained this girl. I feel like I can double dip here.
Yeah. And looking back on your journey, would you still have gone about it the same way like today?
That's a great question. I don't know if I would have.
Ooh.
Because I think that it would have been smarter for me to start off hiring people who maybe had more experience, who I didn't have to spend time training.
Okay.
But But, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah. Like, it all worked out. So who knows? It could have bought me some time had I just hired someone who knew what they were doing.
Yeah. Which this will be my last question on hiring before we go into boundaries.
No, that's okay. I love
this. Much juiciness around boundaries that I want to get to.
Yeah.
But my question for you around hiring is, a lot of people think exactly what you were just saying, which is like you hire on someone and then it's, you spend a lot of time, you know, working with them to make sure that they have the skill set to be able to support you in the ways that you need them to support you. And I know there are a lot of people out there who don't hire because they are, there's a lot of anxiety around that of like, I'm already working 40 hours a week. I'm already, you know, like my capacity is already at max. So like, how could I possibly bring someone on to train them to be able to support me? Like, I don't even have the capacity to bring someone on to support me. Like, what would you say to that person?
I would say it's going to bite you in the butt. Like, you have to find a way to get someone to help you, or else you're just going to be drowning and you're never going to be able to scale. Like, I think that first ripping off the Band-Aid with the hire and the training is the hardest part. Because once you get a feel for like training that first hire and realizing how much effort goes into the hiring process between posting the job listing, doing your interviews, conducting like a project, if you want to, you know, like so much time gets invested into that, that by the time you have hired this person, you're like, I will do anything to make this work out. Yeah. And so I think that like, I would tell them to just like, do it now because it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that is one of the biggest aspects, in my opinion, of scaling a sustainable business is being able to bring people on. And I think, you know, I saw, I think it was Alex Hormozi was, I think he posted about this, or maybe it was like a YouTube video or something, but he was just talking, or no, I think someone else was talking about Alex Hormozi's post and how he is really good at hiring people. And I think it was another female entrepreneur who's like a business coach. And she was talking about how that is something that like, for whatever reason, males are really good at doing is like bringing on help for support. Mm. And like, for whatever reason, and I don't necessarily believe that this is like an umbrella statement. Obviously there are people out there who
I'm just curious.
Like, I totally fit this where I was like reading this post and it was so true for me where like I waited so long to hire people. But like once I started hiring people, I was like, why did I wait so long? Like, and for me, like being able to get to the point where I'm at in my business, like I had to have hired. And so that was just so interesting to me to read that post of like, males are so good at like asking for help and getting that support. Like, why are we as females not good at that? Mm-hmm.
That's so true. And another piece of advice I would give in this hypothetical situation is if, say, like she's really hesitant to do that hire, start doing the back end work for when you are ready to maybe make that hire now. Like, start documenting like everything you do that you might need to train someone on in the future by creating a Loom really quick when you go to schedule your client's content for the week, or have all your systems and to-dos set up in like a tool like Asana, which we have an Asana template that we sell that allows you to like delegate things so easily. Okay. So that way, like if someone were to leave your organization, it's so easy to find the missing pieces and reassign those things that were previously assigned to them to someone new too. It's just,
Okay, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I thought of one more thing that we're doing. So every semester we onboard new interns still at Homemade Social, and we get feedback every semester that it's just like a lot of information in one day, but there's just like no other way to do it. We've foreshadowed this. We tell them this. We're like, just so you know, day one is a lot, but like, you just got to get through it.
Yeah.
And now we had this idea, feel free to steal it. We're putting all of our internship onboarding information and trainings into Kajabi, going to make it a private course, and we're going to send them access to it like when we give them their offer. So that way they'll be like expected to kind of just like at least familiarize themselves with the content, and then we'll review it with them again on day one. That way it's just not like a shock to them.
No, I love that so much. And I have definitely like, because I've been in the social media management role as well. And like, I've also been on the side of hiring other people too. So like, I feel like I've seen both sides of it. And I definitely agree where when I was being a social media manager and moving into those roles to be able to support these business owners, there was just so much. It was just like so overwhelming, like the passwords and the management and like, this and like learning brand voice and brand color and like Google Docs. And Google folders of like just like hundreds of like.
And to someone who maybe has never used Later before, or to someone who has never used a tool like Asana or Slack before, like if this is literally their first internship, it can be so overwhelming.
Yeah, for For sure. I love that so much, which I feel like that segues so well into boundaries and systems, because I feel like if you have these things put in place, even before you go about hiring, like it's just going to
be a breeze. Yeah.
A breeze. And I'm so glad that we're diving into this conversation around boundaries today, because I think boundaries are one of the biggest anxiety points for entrepreneurs, because it can feel like you're closing yourself off from your clients sometimes, and that you're not going to be able to really serve them at the highest level or provide a really good customer experience, or that, you know, it can sometimes even feel like you're trying to control like the clients through these boundaries. So what would you say to someone who feels that way or is thinking, has that mindset around boundaries?
I would say, I think it's very common, especially when people are starting out, to feel that way, because you're coming at it oftentimes from like a scarcity mindset where like, if I don't allow this client to text me at 7 p.m., they're going to fire me and I'm not going to have this client. And so I think it's just is so important to figure out your boundaries before you onboard your clients, right? Like being able to communicate your boundaries at a high level, even on like a discovery call with a potential client, just be like, hey, just want to give a heads up. We aren't available outside of office hours. XYZ, here are other some boundaries that we enforce. Like, we just wanted to confirm and be upfront with you that this is okay before we proceed with our relationship. Like that sort of thing. But 9 times out of 10, I'll say that like clients are usually very happy to oblige because they know that we will also respect their out of offices or their, you know, time equally. So it goes two ways.
I love that. And I love how you positioned it as like, you're almost setting the example for your clients and the fact that like they need to also have boundaries. But I think something else that comes up here a lot as well is, well, it's easy for you to say like that you need to have boundaries because you already have clients, you already have a successful business. So what would you say to someone who's like at the very beginning of their business? Are boundaries necessary? And how do you go about setting boundaries at the beginning of your business when you don't have, you know, a full roster?
Yeah, I would look and see, like, do just an audit of like what areas of your client management are bringing you the most like distress. And a lot of times it's going to be like those clients who text you at 9 p.m. or having to post for this client at this hour every week. Or it's probably going to, that's just my guess. I don't know if you have better examples there, but like I know that those are really common ones for social media managers. And I think that's because social media is on 24/7. And so clients can just sometimes expect us to be on 24/7 as well. So I get ahead of the curve.
Yeah, no, for sure. And what about for people who don't take on clients? So people who are the solopreneurs, what advice would you give to them?
Oh, that's great. Okay, I have some tools. Take out your notebooks, everyone. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
Okay, there's a fantastic app. It's called Open Phone. And it allows you to have a secondary phone number associated with your business, but still on your phone. So you don't have to have a secondary device or anything. It's just an app on your phone. I believe it's $15 a month. Actually, Homemade Social, we have an affiliate discount for it. I forget. I think it's a link. But if you go to our website, you can find it. Maybe I can give it to you. You can put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
It will get you 20% off your first 3 months. It's an app and it will automatically send like calls outside of business hours to voicemail or texts outside of business hours, an automatic message. Mm-hmm. So like if you are running an e-commerce shop and you have a support phone number or anything like that, or, you know, you give your number to your clients.
Yeah.
It just allows you to have a little bit of a buffer between like giving them your personal number and giving them this other phone number. Yeah. The other great thing is it has a desktop app. So like you can, you know, just like using iMessage on your computer, you can, you know, correspond with your clients that way. Yeah. And it syncs with Slack. So you can make it a Slack channel. And so your team can see all incoming messages or calls. So there's like so many benefits to that. There's also an amazing app called Opal. Do you use that yet?
No, I've never even heard of it.
It's kind of like the iPhone screen time limitation settings, but like times 100, it allows for like so much extra customization. My favorite feature I use on it is like the doom scrolling auto shut off. So I have it set up. So like if I'm on Instagram or TikTok for more than 15 minutes straight, it kicks me off for 15 minutes.
Ooh, I love that.
So it's like, yeah, so that you can get really custom with it and you can make it really easy or really hard to like break your limitation, but I use it during the week too. I usually use it between 10 a.m. and 3. It can be hard working in social because sometimes I do need to go on social, but I can go on desktop if I like have to go to a feed post or something, but it helps a lot.
I love that. And then I think in your intake form, you also talked about like your calendar. What are some tools that you use for that? Or what are some boundaries that you have in place with your calendar?
So I use Acuity or like a tool like Calendly to dictate how we have meetings and calls with discovery calls or whatever. I try and make it so that I only take discovery calls on like Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We have no internal or external meetings on Fridays. And then for reoccurring client meetings, we always have, I could just give it away. We make sure all client meetings are always reoccurring and that there's always one on the calendar. And I found that that is a really great way to prevent the like awful email or text you get from a client where it's like, hey, can we hop on a call right now? Because it's like, hey, can this wait till we are scheduled to meet on Thursday? Or is it possible to cover off email? Like, they appreciate that you have time blocked off to correspond with them.
I love that. And the other one that's coming to my mind, because I am so bad at this, email. What about boundaries for email?
Okay, I don't have the Gmail app on my phone. And well, actually, I do, but I do not have it logged into my work phone or my work email. So in our contract, we have that we're available to our clients during office hours of 9 to 5, Monday through Thursday. Then we have half days on Fridays. And I'm mostly at my laptop during my workday anyways. If I'm out at a client meeting or at a client shoot, we have it in our contract that we technically have like 24 hours to get back to you, 24 business hours. So like if something urgent does come up, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be able to get back to them right away. And if not, if it's something that I can get back to them the next day, I have it in writing that they agreed that that's fine. So I think that helps a lot. And if there is an emergency where I'm not near my laptop and I need to check like my email, I can go to like Chrome and go to gmail.com. It's not as user-friendly, but like in an emergency, it's fine. That way I'm not getting notifications or emails from clients or anything outside of work hours. Like once I close my laptop, I'm off.
I love that. And I love that you've made it hard like to get access to that. It's not like, oh, I just moved the Gmail app to like a different
a hidden place. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Or something like that. It's like, no, you got to go to like Safari and yeah. Like there's just a lot of steps. And like for me, like anytime that there's a lot of steps to get something done, I'm going to think twice about whether or not I actually need to do that thing. So I love that.
And if you start doing it, it makes you realize like even if you check your email just habitually, the amount of like mental time you'll be spending thinking about what you just checked in your inbox is so not worth it. Like even if you aren't taking action on anything, if you're just like keeping track of what's in your inbox,
yeah,
the mental energy and capacity that that's taking up for you is bad. So I'm just team no email on your phone.
I love that. And that leads me to my question, which is what were you noticing in your business and with your clients that made you realize that things needed to change and that put into place?
Great question. So a lot of this, it always, I feel like comes back to like one awful client, right? Who like just walks all over you.
Relatable.
And this was actually in 2020. And so it was a toxic year to begin with, a toxic time to be living in the world of social media. And I don't know if your business can relate, but like first month of quarantine, my business tanked. Like I lost some clients and then all of a sudden it exploded right back like 30 days later because so many businesses had to move their marketing efforts online, which was great. But I didn't have these boundaries in place. And so I was just like, even if I wasn't working all the time, I was like thinking about work all the time. And clients would DM me like requests to my personal account. So I couldn't even like enjoy social media from like a person, like as a human. And I literally started to resent it. So I met with an attorney and I was like, hey, here are some areas of my business that like I don't enjoy. And she helped me to create some workarounds and some policies that would help that. And we actually do sell a contract template based on ours in our shop.
I love that. And that's so interesting that you went to a lawyer for that. Was it specifically for the contract side of things or like what was?
Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up. So it was specifically for contract stuff. So I went through the whole contract with her. I was like, hey, Like, I also added in provisions about, like, okay, when we send content for review, I want to make it so that clients have 48 hours. And then if they go past the 48 hour mark, they get billed at like an hourly rate. Cause I want, like, we have to have systems.
Yeah.
In the world of social media, you have to think of us like a digital magazine, because like if it was a magazine, you know, it's going off to print and you can't make edits. So like you kind of have to have that same mentality for social media in a way. But it was interesting because once we had the contract in place, some clients would then still unknowingly, I'd like to think, break the boundaries. And so then I got stuck in a place where I was like, how do I communicate to this to them when I'm like a people pleaser? So it's like, hey, actually, you know, like I can't, like I'm off for the day. Like I didn't know how to say that. And so then we hired a communications coach. Her name is Jenna. Her business is Career Civility. We did a 3-month training with her and she basically helped us to develop all these like email templates that we can like plug in, copy and paste when someone like doesn't follow a boundary or a contract rule or something.
Can you
in
give
a
us
very a, professional way?
Yeah. Can you give us an example of like, let's just say that, you know, I come to you for extra revisions. Like, how are you going to approach that?
We'll be like, hey, client, thanks so much for taking the time to review. We did want to flag that since the 24 or the 48 hour deadline has passed, these will need to be made at our hourly rate. Do you approve of us doing so? Like just kind of that thing, like we put in the hourly rate to like, not to make more money, but to encourage them to follow the 48 hour mark as closely as we can.
Yeah. And I love that too, because I think a lot of times for me, when I go to like respond to things like that, sometimes I'm like over explaining. And I love that was just like short, sweet, very direct. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't need to be like, and reference this and this and like, I'm so sorry. And it's just
yes.
like very direct. And I think that there's so much power in that. I'm totally a people pleaser too. So I love like the short, sweet, direct scripts. Like that is so powerful. I love that. Looking back, like when you were starting to implement these boundaries, what were like some of like the biggest things where you were like, I know you shared the situation that kind of like was the catalyst to all of this, but like after that one big situation, what were some like main areas where you're like, okay, definitely need to implement boundaries here too?
You mean, so like after the first sweep, like what other boundaries did I feel like were slipping through the cracks?
Yeah.
I would say a big one was clients texting me. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because I do allow clients to text when we're sending two-factor authentication. I think part of it is just education. Like not all clients are as tech savvy or as like have systems in their business. And so you just have to explain to them like, hey, being able to communicate with you solely via email allows us to delegate things quicker, save links and images like with ease and get like, I can do this for you quicker if you email me. It's hard. That's all I have to say.
No, I love that. Which leads me to from your story and hearing your story, a lot of like the boundaries and systems you put into place have allowed you to work less. What were like some, I guess, like big areas that were causing you like extra work hours that like aren't like obvious to like.
I would say a big one would be like revision limits. So as a agency, we oftentimes will send clients like new content to review weekly. And we ask that they provide us with approvals. And now we have it so that they have a 48 hour window to do that. And they also get one round of edits. And so that forces them to instead be like, hey, let's say we design an Instagram story for them and their feedback was like, can I see something different here? Because they get one round, they're going to then be like, hey, I'd rather focus this promotion on this product. Let's change the picture to highlight it or something. Like, it's really coming down to like communication. And so we have one round of revisions. And if the client does need extra, we're happy to accommodate just at our hourly rate.
I love that. And how did you go about like finding those areas in your business where boundaries needed to be set? Was it because of bad experiences that happened? Mm-hmm. Did you do like a time audit? Was there an app that you use? Like, what did that process kind of look like in finding clarity?
I think it just came down to like, honestly, like personal satisfaction, personal job satisfaction for me and also for our account manager who deals with our clients the most. So we kind of touch base and say, okay, what clients are we having the biggest headaches with and what can we do to either like enforce this boundary a little more, communicate this boundary better? Like I'd like to come from the perspective, like they just don't know, like they forget like that this is our boundary. So yeah, it's important to come with like an empathetic mindset to it.
So it was more so like over time you're implementing these boundaries. It wasn't like all at once, like, hi, here are 50 boundaries that I have in place. It was
exactly
like different situations.
Exactly. And my attorney did work with me to help me draft up an email where when I did need to get existing clients on the new agreement that had these boundaries in place, she helped me write in a concise way, like what sections were new and what the main callouts were, but why this was beneficial for them as well. Because then it meant we're not going to be spending all of our time doing extra revisions for other clients. So we can dedicate more of our time to like doing creative work for each brand that we service. So it all works out.
What would you say to someone though, who's at the beginning of their business, you know, they haven't taken on a lot of clients or they haven't done, you know, maybe they're a solopreneur and they're not taking on clients, but they're like building courses and things like that. What would you say to someone who's like, hey, I'm wanting to set these boundaries so that way, you know, I don't get to a place in my business where like I've scaled so much and I'm working like, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours a week. Like, what would you say to them where like they haven't really had like those necessarily like situations where red flag, there needs to be a boundary here?
I think a lot of it comes down to your self-worth, which is, we're getting deep, we're getting spiritual, but
I love it.
Some people don't even have that self-awareness to realize like I'm not being treated well right now, or I'm overworking myself, or it doesn't have to be this hard. And so if they put in some barriers, like what are those things called? Bumpers at the bowling alley, that can just like help them live life on easy mode a little bit, I think that really can help you change your game. So whether that's going to therapy or hiring a business coach, like honestly, I highly recommend when you do one as a business owner, you should always do the other. Like they go hand in hand. Doing the internal work on yourself will always help your business and vice versa. Because I don't think you can scale your business or, you know, really make drastic changes in your business at all if like you still have the mindset of like, it's okay that clients treat me this way, or it's okay that I work all these hours when you don't have to be.
Yeah, that makes me think about the conversation around like work-life balance and what that looks like. And I think for me, looking back on my journey, and this was actually like, I had like this light bulb moment. I went on vacation. It was like 8 months into my business. And like prior to that vacation, I had been working like 10, 12 hour days, ridiculous amounts of time. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified to go on this vacation because I was like, my business is going to burn down. Like I'm going to come back and things are just going to be not good for me. And so there was this like this light bulb moment of like, okay, when I went on vacation and I came back and I was like, things are still running, I was like, oh, like something needs to be reevaluated here. Like, where am I spending all this time? Like, why am I spending all this time? And it made me really realize that like I didn't have any sort of work-life balance. So my question for you is, I think a lot of times when we hear the word balance, we think, oh, it's 50-50, or you know, our brains automatically go to like, oh, well, a work-life balance is only working Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Like, what would you say for you? I guess, what is the definition for you of balance? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I think it will look different at different phases of my life. So right now, I'm actually 50 days out from my wedding today. It's literally 50 days away. So I've been in a very, like outside of work hours, I'm still busy, you know? And so I have had to, like, I've been talking with my fiance and like, we're doing things to just like try and make our life a little bit easier. Like we signed up for like meal prep service so that way, like I can still like, we're just trying to figure out ways like where can we as fortunate people, I understand that like meal prep is something that not everyone can afford. Like where can we invest our money so that we can still have quality time together and still run our business and have it be successful, but then also like enjoy our time and be able to plan our wedding in a way where it's not necessarily stressful. So like that's something that like we have agreed to do for the next couple of weeks as we are prepping for this wedding, which has been really nice. What was the other part of your question? I'm sorry, I blanked.
No, just what is the word like balance? Like when you say,
oh yes,
what is that?
Okay, I remember where I was going with this. Yes. And so what I was getting at is that in the next couple of years, I'd like to start my family. And so you were just mentioning your maternity leave. And so I feel like I'm in this phase of business right now where I have a good balance for where I'm at currently, but yep. I have my eye on like, okay, I know I want to take a couple months of maternity leave down the road, God willing, when I get pregnant one day.
Yeah.
And I'm already starting to think about like what systems and processes and things like, can I start automating or delegating or training my team on now so that like it can run as smoothly as possible while I'm gone. So your boundaries can be defined in different ways. Like my boundaries can be different from someone else's boundaries on my team. And my boundaries today will be different than my boundaries when I'm a mother, I'm sure. It just all comes back down to like your preference, but that's the beauty of it. Like you get to decide.
I love that so much. And that conversation goes so well with everything that I've been talking about recently, because I did just come back from maternity leave and I truly have realized so deeply, like in this season of my life, that there are different seasons of life that bring different things. Like consistency yeah. is different for me in this season of life. My boundaries also look different. The way like my work day is structured looks so different in the season. Yeah. Like it's okay for it to look that way. And I think and even to like, what does success look like in this season of my life? And like, it's okay for like different seasons to bring different things. And I just think that that's so powerful to not like sit here and like compare and be like, oh, well, you know, Becca is implementing these boundaries or Maya's implementing these boundaries. Like I need to be implementing these too. And it's like, you could be, and that could be helpful for where you're at in your business, but also mm-hmm. it might not make sense for where you're at in your business. And so I think,
right.
I guess a question that I would have for you is like, how often do you sit down and like ask yourself, are there new boundaries that need to be implemented? Mm. Do things need to change based off of, you know, the changing seasons?
Yeah. And that's a good question. I feel like it's not something that I have like a reminder to do every 6 months or whatever, but I do keep a note on my phone where I'm like, huh, maybe it would be a better idea that instead of like, this is an idea I've toyed with. Right now, I said that like we bill our clients hourly for edits made past like a deadline, right? But oftentimes those edits take us 10 minutes. So if we're billing, say our hourly rate is like $125 and this took us 10 minutes, we might be making $30. So I've considered like, okay, do we do a flat fee of like $60 per, like what's something that is incentivizing enough to like get them to like give us their true feedback in one go and like be a better communicator, which is hard. But like, I just write these things down. And then when I feel like I have enough or it's substantial enough to like actually change our agreement, like our master service agreement or our contract, that's when I'll approach our lawyer and get it in writing and stuff.
I love that. The last like question around boundaries that I have for you before we close off this episode is, you talk a lot about how boundaries have helped you and your clients and your team to increase your bottom line. What is bottom line for listeners who aren't familiar with that term? And how have these boundaries helped increase bottom line?
Yes, great question. So basically, it means that like we have become more profitable as an agency with our expenses, with our team members, everything. We've been able to like take on higher paying work and make more profit off of it, even though we reduced our working hours as a team from 40 hours a week to 35, which I was shocked by. Like, I actually didn't pull that number until like November of last year. Like, I knew obviously it was working. Like, I was like, this is great. We're all working 35 hours a week. Nothing much has changed, but I didn't realize how much our business had grown. So it's really cool to see that. But part of the reason I think that it really has allowed us to remain more profitable is, one, when you know you have 35 hours a week and when you know that like as soon as you finish your work for the week, you can log off at noon, you will do anything to be able to log off at noon. You're like, okay, what are the true like money making high level tasks that I need to accomplish in these 35 hours this week to be able to get to XYZ or like make this account grow XYZ, whatever. So that's part of it. And I think my team kind of comes from that mindset too. Like, everyone wants to work less and make the same. So I think it helps. And then also it helps with team retention too. Like, I see less turnover with our employees because we're one of the few agencies in the area that has such great boundaries and work-life balance and these reduced hours. So it prevents me from having to spend time again, like rehiring and retraining. And we have a really great sense of company culture because of that. So I'm really proud of my team and it's just been working really well for us.
I love that so much. And I think to anyone who's listening and thinking like, oh, well, that's cool that like Becca does that and she works, you know, 35 hours a week, or, you know, I think even people out there who are like, mm-hmm. oh, 4 hour workday, like that's really popular too. It's like, yeah, that's so cool. Like, so like far out of reach for me, but it's like starting to implement little things over time, starting to implement like one boundary at a time is going to start working you toward your goal. And I love what you said, like focusing on the income producing activities, the things that are driving you the most in your business. That is so, so, so key. And for me, like this probably shouldn't happen. I probably shouldn't admit this, but for me, like once a month, I have to like sit myself down and like remind myself, like, what are the income producing activities? Like, what are the things that are really helping me to move the needle in my business? And sometimes it does like take sitting down with yourself and like having that conversation of like, hey, am I spending my time doing the things that are, you know,
that have to get done this week. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times too, and when this was a huge thing that I realized when I went on that vacation that I was talking about, and I came back and I was like, why am I working 10 to 12 hour days? There was so much fluff that I was filling my time with. And there were also so many places, like you were saying, there were boundaries that I needed to have put into place. And so I started working over time to put those boundaries into place to really focus on the income producing activities. And for me, it was like starting from these 10 to 12 hour days. And then it was like, okay, now how can I work 8 hour days? Now, how can I work, 6 hours? Like, it wasn't like, okay, how do I work from 10 to 12 hour days to like 3 hour days? It was like, no, like let's over time.
Right. Do it incrementally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah. You have to think of it like, okay, if I only could work 20 hours next week, what would I do?
Mm.
And it really becomes easy to just like cut out the fluff.
I love that. I love that question. Okay. I have a juicy question. My last question for you before I have you share where people can connect with you and what resources you have available for them. My question is, if you were to give yourself one piece of advice, and let's just say you're on day one of your entrepreneurship journey, after learning all the things you've learned after 5 years of homemade social, what is the one piece of advice that you would give to yourself and why?
I would say the hardest pill to swallow from the beginning was like, I think the people closest to you sometimes have the hardest time supporting you in the beginning. Like maybe right at first when you launch your company or whatever, they're going to be excited and like reshare, but there's going to be crickets for a while where they don't support you. Mm-hmm. And maybe they are, they're just being silent about it. And you have to remember that like they'll come around, they'll come back, they'll apply for job openings you have at your company one day. I think a lot of times, like especially when my freelance journey started because I left a job. I remember a lot of people at that job, like kind of cut ties with me. I think because they wanted to be able to do the same and they were afraid to.
Yeah.
So there was just like, I don't know, there's just a lot of projections and that kind of stuff involved when you take a big risk and you're putting yourself out there. It can be scary. But just know that like the real ones always come back and they'll be so proud of you and you can do it.
I love that so much. That was like not at all what I was expecting, but also like totally something that I can relate to. And I know that
Someone
else can relate to who are listening right now. So thank you so much for sharing that. Okay, where can people find you? And then also what resources do you have available for people?
Okay, great question. So we're on Instagram, TikTok. We're a social media agency, so you can find us anywhere. Homemade Social. There's actually an underscore at the end. No, another account does not exist without the underscore, but it's one of those things where it says it's taken, but it's not. It's such a pain. So Homemade Social _ on Instagram. My handle is Bbooks, Bbooks. My name is Becca Booker. I'm soon to be Becca Bunch. My last name's going to be B, like Becca Bunch. So I haven't decided if I'm going to change my handle yet. I could be B Bunch. I could go from B Books to B Bunch. We'll see.
I like
that. And then we have
you.
I kind of do too. I think it's cute. I think I already looked and it's taken, but we'll see. And then Homemade Social is on homemadesocial.com. You can reach out to us anywhere and my team will get you in touch with me. But if you head to our shop on homemadesocial.com, like I said, we have that contract template. We have boundaries template. I have a whole course on kind of how I set up my social media agency around my systems and my boundaries. So we always try to provide resources where we can.
I love that so much. Thank you so much. You are a wealth of knowledge. Course. And I've loved chatting with you. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, Maya. You're a great interview. I appreciate it.
If this episode has served you in any way, I'd love it if you shared what you've learned, any aha moments that you may have had, or something that you loved, and tag me on Instagram at Maya Nicole. And if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and leave a 5-star review so that we can continue to learn and grow together. Thank you so much for your support. I love you, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.